I get up there and learn so much myself because, you know, where you live up in the tropics, there's such a different world of plants, and I get an absolute buzz out of every one of the gardens because there's always something. There's a little edge, there's a little bit of passion that pops its head up with a combination or the way that, you know, something's been done, and they're all different. Every garden is different.
Do you know, it's interesting because when we read the story about you coming up here, one of the things you suggested, and I think it's a good idea, is for people to step outside their comfort zone when they're growing things and kind of go, well, look, I've never grown that before. It's a bit of a challenge, but I'll tackle it. And I think that's good for gardeners, don't you think?
Totally. I meet people, and I have these experiences as well where, you know, you're given a plant and, you know, it could be years, it could be a couple of years before you get the flower. And I think what I like about that the most is that we're talking about a hobby, a pastime, a passion, an addiction, whatever level you are.
Addiction.
You know, as you move up the scale, where money can't make that orchid flower. Money can't sort of put the time in to tend and observe and remove a potential pest that could have undone that year's chance for something to happen, whether it's the fruiting or the flowering or the new leaf, if it's an indoor plant that you're slowly watching grow and wanting it to reach that next level. And that's the bit that I think is the real leveler about gardening, because I meet people from all walks of life, and, you know, the ones that have the passion are the richest ones for me.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
It doesn't matter whether you're on a 5-acre block or whether you've got 5 square meters on your balcony. You can do some pretty crazy stuff, and and probably the best part is that you become an influencer, and you can inspire others to sort of go, well, wow, you know, look at that climbing plant on that tiny little balcony or that rooftop, and how did you get that to grow? And you know, someone will say something really simple, like I was walking around a garden in Brisbane, and it was sort of the garden of a nursery, two plants people, and, you know, we walked past this big bromeliad, and he said, look at that one. See how look at the colour in the leaf there. If you have it in, if you feed it too much, it'll be green. When you don't feed it and you treat it mean, it goes into those beautiful shades of red. Mm. And, you know, they're simple things that people think, oh, I want this plant to succeed. I'll feed it, but why won't it get that colour? Or why did it change? I bought it at the nursery, I was given it red, and now it's gone green. And you know, they're the facts, they're the tips, they're the tricks that, you know, you only get through talking with gardeners, and gardeners love to share their info, and then you become a vector. You become a real vector of information and inspiration.
What I love about you is your passion comes through the telephone. It comes through the TV. It does. It comes through the TV, you know, because I always feel, I say to people, you know, some people come on the radio and they say, oh, Paul, what'll I say? I don't know what to say. And I say, well, talk about something you're passionate about. Well, next thing they're off and you can't stop them. And that's basically what you are. You're so passionate. Now, I want to ask a question, you know, I'm not an authority on this. You are. Now, gardens down south, you take a garden in Sydney, for example, what are the sort of challenges that we face up here in the tropical region? Now, you'd think immediately everything grows like crazy, it'd just be fantastic. But do we face any challenges compared to, say, a garden in Sydney or Melbourne?
Yeah, well, look, you've got sort of different extremes. And I think, sorry, I just ripped the earpiece out of off my head. Because I'm talking with my hands too much, and I just sort of I gestured and I ripped the cord and it. Okay, I'll just calm down.
That's the passion. See the passion. The passion.
Actually, you'll be happy to know that it is absolutely. I may have just got out of the shower, but when I go out the door, yeah. I'm going to have a second shower because it's belting down with rain at the moment, and we haven't seen that much of it in Sydney for a couple of seasons. So, that's one of those things. I mean, you have a very different seasonal regime to us, and I know that it's been very dry up there, and people just don't think that, or they don't equate dry to where you are. Like they just think, well, you know, you get a meter and 0.9 of rain every year, but you know, with changes and shifts and creep, suddenly you may still be getting that rain, but it's happening in a slightly different, more compressed space.
Yeah, we're getting rain at the moment, Costa, though. We're getting it at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, suddenly you've got these cyclones coming. So you get these extremes, and I mean, when that rain comes, you've got to keep an eye on things and tend the soil to make sure that things aren't puddling and it's taking the oxygen out of the water. You know, in the temperature up there, you need to mulch a lot more because the heat will take the moisture out of the garden, and you get these extremes where, you know, you've got a lot of water and you've got a lot of heat, but then it gets taken out. So the kind of gardening extremes that you experience are very different to what we experience. And I mean, your growing capacity across the whole year is different to down south, where we get a cooler period where things slow down. You get a cooler period where things actually, you know, still grow vigorously, you know. So that means you've got to stay on to your garden and make sure you keep it fed so that there is food there for the plant to grow with at a time when it wants to grow. So they're just some of the little differences.
Yeah. All right. Well, can I just have a quick snippet if I mention these particular ones that, and now the gardeners listening in this morning are saying, well, Costa's going to come and judge my garden or this part of the garden. Yep. Just give me a brief snippet of what you'll be looking for in these eight categories. Okay, let's start with residential garden.
Residential garden. Well, I suppose I'll be looking at them and saying, okay, well, where are they on the scheme of things? You know, is this a new garden? Is it a garden that's well established and has been tended for multiple years, possibly decades? What's the style of the garden? Is it a tropical garden? Is it an edible garden? Is it a kind of mix of ornamentals and edibles, or is it specifically ornamental with you know what and what's the design? You know, is there features? Is there layering? What variety of plants? How much of a plant palette is there in the garden? So you know, they're just some of the things in that category.
Well, you just mentioned,
is it a front garden, a back garden? Does it go out onto the street? Is there any verge involved? So there's quite a few areas that we can look at.
Yeah, talking to Costa Georgiadis at the moment from Gardening Australia on the ABC. Well, you tackled edible garden there. What about acreage garden?
Well, acreage, I mean, I suppose the thing that I noticed last year with the acreage is acreage doesn't mean that you have to have acres of gardens. I mean, the thing with acreage is more that it's a garden that's embracing the house. It may involve an entry driveway just by virtue of the fact that there is more land and there is that space, you know, on acreage. How does the garden fit around the house? Is it an ornamental? Is there an edible part of the garden, or is that another part of the section? Is there an orchard? You know, on the bigger blocks, some of them had orchards and larger edible gardening spaces.
Yeah.
What's the use of trees? How are there mature trees? Where have they been placed? What's the design? How are they dealing with water? Are they storing water? Are they carrying out sort of sustainable practices to manage the acreage garden?
What about Costa Sustainable and Environmental? What are you looking for there?
Yeah, I suppose a bit off the back of what I was just saying with Sustainable and Environmental, like I'm looking at, you know, what methods and techniques are being used to maintain the long-term viability of the garden. Is water being captured? How are plants being used to create shade and cooling and you know, solar passive application of garden design techniques? You know, is there water control through landscape design? Is the water being fed back onto the garden and recirculated?
Those
sorts of things.
Yeah, and what about school? Now, I know there'll be a lot of school kids listening in, and of course, the wonderful thing over recent decades is the school children getting involved with gardens, teaching them at an early age how to nurture a beautiful garden. So for the school kids listening in, what should they be up to?
Oh, you know, I mean, for some school kids, it could be that, you know, they're just adding the new season planting to the garden. It could be putting some labels, having some labels on the plants to direct and educate around what's going on. It could be composting and worm farming. Do we have a compost system going, and are we feeding our soil by managing our waste and connecting that educational arm and bringing that into the garden? What edibles do we understand, and what are we doing with those edibles? Do we have methods of preparing, cooking, preserving? You know, what layers of the story are we taking back up the chain in terms of cooking, eating, and using the produce when it's in abundance to spread over the season? So there's layers that the garden can be improved to draw more people in to the garden story.